We'll be presenting a proclamation to Mr. Robbie Burns.
I'm it. I'm the photographer.
Where do you want it? You should be right in here.
I was just going to say, because maybe the seal.
Yeah.
I'll just get out of the way.
So I'm going to change this.
It's a flag.
Is that right in the middle?
Got it.
Yes.
Perfect.
Smile, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And one more. Perfect. Okay.
Oh boy.
Amazing.
Oh, good start.
Thank you, final.
Congratulations.
Photo bombing. Let's make you know it.
We can either do consent or public.
We'll do public.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We'll, for those items that are listed on here, I'm going to do the consent agenda. But for those items that I have public comment on, I'll be pulling those. The wishes of the consent agenda, that's just to get department heads out. For consent agenda, I was going to pull item F, 5F.
We need to hold real quick, sorry. The computer did an update for some reason.
Oh, that's right. Okay, okay. Choice of technology. Everything's up and running?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. For those in the public, I don't do this very often, but for consent, I was going to pull item F, which is personnel, and then item U, which is a letter to the state on the Klamath Dams. Did anybody have a comment on any other item on the consent agenda?
Do we want to wait to open?
In case we've got public that might want to...
Oh, we're not opened right. Yet.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I haven't done it with the Zoom yet.
I know. It's a little
cool.
Different.
So. And then the rest I saw was just public comment in general, so I'll pull those out. That's to get department heads so they can head back and get back to work. Okay, we're muted. For those on Zoom, the computer had an update, so that's why we had a delay there. The board's going to pull 5F, which is a personnel, and then also 5U for Klamath River Renewal Corporation for a letter for the Klamath River Dams. Was any public going to comment on any other letters for consent? 5E? Also 5E is going to be pulled. Seeing none, wishes of the board on the consent?
Move to approve the consent agenda minus those items you just named.
All right. I'll second. Roll call vote.
Okay. All righty, Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Okay. that lets county employees and department heads be able to focus on going back to work. So now for items we're pulling, item 5E, Supervisor Howe.
Yeah, I just pulled this to just kind of, it kind of got lost in the shuffle as just kind of a consent agenda or move it on. But I want to give a big shout out to the folks that work on this standpoint that this started as a conceptual project almost 20 years ago, and which is a backbone project between Gunsight Peak and Scottbar. The first parts of it were done with the cooperation of Fruit Growers and the Forest Service 7 years ago. After extensive fire modeling, there's those of us who know fire behavior pretty well in the Klamath Mountains know that most fires that originate over on the Klamath River try to come to Scott Valley. We saw that in 87, the siege of 87, and we've seen it with just about every other fire start. So this is a critical backbone fuels break that's been a long time coming. And I just applaud the efforts for us continuing this work and getting this done. It's truly one of those really influential strategic investments in landscape to abate large-scale fire. And with that, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call vote.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Item 5F.
Yes, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Good morning, Board members. With this item, I would like to add language after the last name of Cummins on the agenda worksheet to add and or his or her designee. Also, the same exact language would be changed on the closed session item as well, which is closed session item 13I. And that's it.
That's it. So moved with those amendments.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Motion, roll call vote.
Okay. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Right. Now item 5U, Natural Resources, the letter to Klamath River Renewal Corporation and Governor Newsom. Any board comments?
So we've received emails to have this continue to the March meeting, the first meeting in March, and I'm okay with that, but I know there's public here today that probably wants to comment on this as well.
All right.
Anything further?
Any other supervisors? Nothing to add at this time?
Okay. I support. He said it.
All right. On item number two here, Rick Rowdy. And then on deck would be Jeff Future. There you go, sir. Go ahead, sir.
I'm Rick Dowdy from Cottonwood Lake.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for all your work on trying to help keep the dams. And I know it's been a long time and a lot of work. On the letter, I appreciate you writing the letter. I'd like to add with it to adopt the resolution to approve the ancient Beswick Forest and cultural area. That was a presentation done approximately a month ago by Richard Marshall.
Okay.
Everybody's heard of Agenda 21, and I think this is a big part of the rich elites taking over, and another way to fight back would be a constitutional county where the state, the feds, and Oregon, and all the bureaucrats wouldn't be able to push us around and give you guys more power. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dwyer. And thank you for giving me credit for writing it. I had some feedback for the Conda Dam, but it was, we all write feedback, but it was put down better than by somebody else. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Mr. Dutcher, and then after will be Mr. Richard Marshall, will be next.
Jeff Dutcher, North Montague, and I'll keep it very brief. Of course, it's regarding this letter to Governor Newsom, KRRC, and I am of the opinion that it should be put over until there's time for the board to meet with some representative groups that are knowledgeable on this issue and of the dam removal, and have their voices heard before some kind of votes on that. And my biggest point on this would be that basically this letter acknowledges dam removal prior to the issuance of the EIR, with the Environmental Impact Report, which is not due out until, I believe at this point, March 22nd. And that could be a very significant change in the whole dynamics of this thing when that report comes out. So that's my principal concern.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Richard Marshall, and then after that, Mrs. Barbara Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Chris, and members of the board. This morning, as I walked up to the building, I passed by the statue of Randolph Collier, the most famous politician, the best statesman that this county ever had. And I think it's apropos today to mention his name and bring his name into this process, because what we're talking about today has to do very much with what Mr. Collier did in his time to try to protect Siskiyou County, to provide a roadmap for the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors to follow, which they're not following. But it was set up a long time ago, and I would also add that his associate, Frank Lathrop, who was known as the water rights guy in this area and was assistant to Collier, was also the secretary for the Klamath Compact. The Klamath Compact was a product of Collier and the Department of Water Resources here in the state of California. Collier made sure that the county of Siskiyou had protected water rights with two reserve rights of 60,000 acre feet each, a total of 120, and that's codified, I might add, in Bulletin 83, which was written by the Department of Water Resources. What's important about that bulletin, which I've asked the board before to become familiar with, and I think if you're going to be a board member, you need to know that backwards and forwards, is the way it laid out the water rights activities for Siskiyou County, and provided for, in its content, how the water would be delivered to Siskiyou County. Well, why is it important to do this? And I might say also, I'm not going to go through all of them because I don't have enough time, but we have a number of letters from the Water Resources Board to confirm the fact that these are rights to be given to the county without any cost. The draft of the compact itself references this, and that was approved by Congress and the President of the United States. This was all laid out as a pathway to protect Siskiyou County's water rights because we were a county of origin. And if you don't know that term, you need to figure out what that is, because it's very important and germane to the issue of water rights. The county needs to have a hammer. This is an ill-conceived and poorly written letter that's planned to go to the governor. It will accomplish nothing, but you'll be negotiating against yourself the way it's written. You need some hammers. You need some negotiating power. You don't have it. Part of this, though, is the water reserve rights. The water reserve rights alone, valued at a conservative $400 an acre foot, amount to about $48 million a year in terms of value to the county of Siskiyou. Over a 25-year basis, that's a $1.2 billion value that those rights represent to Siskiyou County. Allowing them to lie idle on the table and do nothing about it is absurd, and it's not the way to go about an issue of negotiating with the state of California. We already know the state is awash in money. They're not spending it in the appropriate places. They should spend it to help assist the county of Siskiyou put together what they need to do with the water rights so that that can help with both the fish, with Shasta Valley, and with Scott Valley, helping our ranchers and farmers. This is an incredibly important thing. I have a lot of other things, but you're bringing the buzzer for me. I'm hoping we have a Blue Ribbon Committee, which we've suggested be formed, to respond to this letter and to make input to this letter. I know the Farm Bureau has also indicated the same thing they would like to do, and I believe the cattlemen as well are interested in that process, because we can't allow a letter like this to go to the governor and KRC in its current state. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Barbara Austin, and then after that, Ms. Chrissy Reynolds.
Barbara Austin. If this had been a couple of years ago, I would be here to congratulate Brandon on his new chairmanship. But as the secretary of the Cottrell Community Club and the vice president of the Fire Auxiliary, I hate to see that you've taken this extra responsibility, because I don't feel you have fulfilled your responsibilities to us in your district as far as this dam removal project. It seems like the closer we've gotten to this, the less information we get from you. So it's really hard for us, because we feel like we've been thrown under the bus. We find out things as it's being voted on. We find out things after it's been proposed. All these things, and we can't be here every Tuesday. We don't know what's going on. And I know you've got a busy district. I don't know what other people think in the district, but everything is being affected by Kopko Lake. We have the most to lose. The resources, the freedoms, it's all on our plate. So, I mean, Wairika's growing. It's going to benefit a lot from this dam removal temporarily. The ones that are going to lose are Kopko members. So, like I said, I would normally have congratulated you, but I truly feel you dropped the ball on us. And I'm sorry to say that. The only other thing I would ask, again, was the letter to KARC. Again, this is a drop in the bucket. The county is going to lose a lot of money, even on this project. If you've had gravel taken to your house and a few other things, you know that the prices are going to cost Siskiyou County. So the benefits aren't there. And the other thing would be that you guys approve the resolution on the ancient Beswick resolution. So.
Thank you. Ms. Chrissy Reynolds, and after that, Ms. Linda Ebert.
When do you give this to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chrissy Reynolds, Kopko Lake. Thank you very much. We'd like to take this time to thank you for hearing us. We have been angry and frustrated with our district supervisor for repeatedly ignoring our requests to be engaged in what's happening with the county. Our previous supervisor made it a point to let us know about things as they were happening every few weeks, if not monthly. And although we continue to ask, our supervisor cannot seem to be able to do that. For example, when the county signed the MOU with the KRRC for $2.2 million in preemptive road upgrades, no Kopko citizen was forewarned that there was even talk about this deal. As citizens that already live 40 minutes from town, any delays in traffic have life-threatening consequences to the golden hour for treatment, let alone any delays to work or school or doctor's appointments, etc. When traffic delays were experienced, when guardrails were changed out, it had a significant impact on everyone that was, and that was only a short-term project. The dam road construction delays could take upwards of 2 years, and we were not even given a hearing on this. On February 10th, just days ago, a Klamath Basin Summit was held. Governors from both states, Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland were there, as well as senators, congressmen, various tribes. Where was the county? Were we not invited? And if not, why didn't someone from the county go and make their presence known? Opportunities are lost when we find out after the fact on Facebook and not from our supervisor. We are asking the board not to approve the letter to the governor and the KRRC, as the letter does not go far enough to protect the citizens of COPCO. By bringing up the Condit Dam project, the letter fails to mention that 11 years later, there's still sediment issues, people are still living without water for their homes, and other major issues have not been resolved. Looking from our perspective, the $25 million minimum asked for does not give us confidence that the citizens of COPCO will be taken care of. The letter states, as the entities that seek to hold the Lower Klamath Project license for the purpose of carrying out dam removal, it is the KRRC and the state's responsibility to resolve these outstanding issues and provide safeguards to the county. Does that mean that this is now a state public project and should be treated as one? The governor has no problem issuing a state of emergency over water. We feel the county should do the same and take the power already given to them by the Klamath Basin Compact and the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Irrigation District by using your authority to protect the citizens first and foremost. When the state starts using draconian measures that endanger and threaten people's lives, homes, and livelihoods, then it's an emergency. You can already see what is happening from the State Water Resources Control Board on the Scott and Shasta. We must not let the state dictate what happens to the water that belongs to the people of this county. We are asking the county to support and endorse the Ancient Beswick Forest and Cultural Area Resolution. Many COPCO citizens collectively donated thousands of dollars to pay for the lava dike sonar study and hundreds of man hours documenting wildlife, photographing them, and helping to map out the biomes. We feel that this endorsement could protect our wildlife, cultural areas, and the ancient lakes without the need to continue to destroy four fully functioning hydroelectric facilities and their adjoining two reservoirs, which provide so many life-enhancing qualities. The Ancient Beswick Forest and Cultural Area is a beautiful way to honor the legacy of our unique past and protect it for the future. Thank you. Chrissy Reynolds and the citizens of COPCO Lake.
Thank you, Ms. Reynolds. That's not easy. And then the next name I want to announce right is Tori Balongi.
I did it right?
All right. Ms. Ebert?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Linda Ebert. I live on COPCO Lake in the same home my husband Carl and I purchased over 20 years ago, along with about 8 3/4 acres of land. Back then, dam destruction was an unpleasant rumor. Now, as everyone awaits FERC's decision about the fate of the dams, I would like to request the following of the board. Number one, first, that the board vote no on approving the February 1st, 2022 letter as written to Governor Newsom and the president of the KRRC, since the minimum amount of $25 million requested of the state and or KRRC for a community funding pool seems totally inadequate in this period of high inflation in order to make us whole. Number two, I'd also like to ask the board that they adopt the resolution to approve the Ancient Beswick Forest and Cultural Area for the protection of our area's wildlife, reservoirs, and cultural sites. And lastly, Mr. Chairman, I thank you for your service as our District 1 supervisor, and I appreciate the way you had kept us advised of all dam issue-related matters, especially via town halls. After COVID hit hard, that became difficult. And those of us not on the internet lost touch. Our COPCO community in general felt it had been left out of the loop in helping to craft the MOU with KRRC regarding our vital road areas. Access, I should say, into and out of our community should dam demolition be approved by FERC. Mr. Chairman, I believe you've just been made aware of our COPCO Lake Community Club town hall capability via Zoom, and hope you'll stay in touch with us, however, and whenever time permits. And to the entire board, thank you for your service and for your time today. Please keep fighting for dam preservation. Sincerely, Linda Ebert.
And then Tori. And then Francis Gill.
Hi, my name is Tori Balongi. I was kind of asked to speak to you about some experiences that I've had. I was born and raised in Siskiyou County. My family's been here around 100 years. In 2008, I purchased a business in Curry County at the mouth of the Rogue River. Several years ago, they decided to remove a dam upriver near I-5. The Army Corps of Engineers lost control of the removal, and years of sediment washed down the stream. It could be seen for miles out to sea for weeks. Years later, the river is still so full of sediment and gravel. It has clogged the mouth of the tributaries, causing floods upstream. The Rogue River, once a celebrated recreation and fishing area, is now struggling. Years ago, I watched from my business and choked that you could walk across the river on boats. Now you can walk across on gravel bars. The town of Gold Beach and surrounding areas are now struggling. Businesses have closed. The seals and sea lions, as well as the fishing guides, have left. It floods in the winter, washing more gravel and bank downstream, and every year they have to pay a sea dredge to open the mouth of the river up again. Then they pay a smaller dredge to open up a channel in the river to get the route open for the port. Removal of the dam has indefinitely and destructively changed the Rogue River. Please remember, we are downstream from Klamath Dam. I moved back to Siskiyou County this summer to find that what we thought was put to bed in the dam's removal is now a possibility. I have contacted my great uncle's prodigy at U.S. Berkeley and my uncle, who just retired as the head of Montana Fish and Game, to get more information and to request they get involved. As elected officials, it is our duty and responsibility to protect and represent our constituents. Mine as Secretary Treasurer of Copco Lake Fire Protection District, and yours as County Supervisors. In this light, I request that you vote no to approve this letter, as it is not nearly enough to protect our citizens, and to go forward to adopt the resolution to approve the ancient Beswick Forest and Cultural Area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Francis Gill.
Good morning. I don't really have a speech prepared as much as I'd like to show my support for what everybody else has said today. We all have kind of gotten together and we agree that this letter is inadequate to protect us. I don't know where the figure of the $25 million came from for recovery of slopes and the High Mountain Lake projects. But it really seems inadequate considering, you know, just the cost of dam removal is a quarter of a billion to maybe much more than that. $25 million doesn't seem like it's even going to help Copco Lake, let alone the county. So I would like you to vote no on this letter to the state and KRRC. And hopefully we can get involved in providing some input for the letter that actually does get sent out. I would also like to show my support for the adopting the resolution for the ancient Beswick Cultural Area. I think it's a really beautiful way to help protect the dams, and we need more historical areas in Siskiyou County anyway. We need to preserve what we have. In the history we have, and that area up there has a tremendous amount of history, Native American and otherwise, and it's a really nice way to protect it and incorporate the safety of our dams into that resolution. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Any comments from board members?
I'd just like to comment on the Klamath Summit. We were not invited. It caught us cold as well. And that's just to give you a flavor of what we're up against. And I appreciate the comments that you're bringing to us today. That's why we continue this, to get that input. But I think the other thing to remember is, it's not just the Board of Supervisors, representing Siskiyou County. We have an assemblywoman, we have a state senator, we have two federal state senators, and we have a federal congressman that all need to weigh in on this. Because a lot of times, I'll just say it, we're considered irrelevant, even though We've been holding water literally for quite a few years on this, over a decade. There's enough money out there now through the infrastructure bill that it's a bit scary. The politics and the money that's rolling downhill is troublesome. So keep your eye on that. Keep us informed, but also keep our representatives informed. They need to hear from you as well.
Any other board members?
Where am I going to start?
Exactly.
I'm going to start with the premise, I guess, that no letter that ever comes out is going to be perfect. But I also want to say that more input is always better. I've struggled myself for a good 4 years trying to put on paper what the actual impacts of dam removal would be, because I'm confronted all the time by those above us in elected positions. Well, then what is the issue, and what exactly needs to be addressed? Because we all talk about it, we all know it, but it's never been put in print. Okay? So that's my attempt in trying to put a letter together. To try and put something in print, not to cure all ills, but at least to get at the heart of the significant issues. I thought a start on the dollar figure, and I can't recall exactly where the dollar figure came from either, but I know the original agreement had $250 million in it for recovery after dam removal. I think you could probably double that today with the impacts at least. And I agree with a lot of the statements. A lot of things aren't adequate. It's difficult to put in paper the take of placing someone's property downstream. Now, I'm down. My impacts are downstream of the dams in my district, so it's difficult to articulate the actual property taking of dam removal and placing someone's once unencumbered property into floodplain and not having that usable land again. So what's the figure on that? I don't know. But we'll continue this and we'll have some more dialogue about what we can put in there, but also keep in mind the letter that I might write might not be approved by another member on this board either. So it has to come, I guess, as a united front, so that we don't look divided either at a higher level.
Right. Any comments or anything? Or?
No, I agree. It's just a long, hard process. And it's been frustrating from the start. And I'll just agree with what my colleagues say.
Perfect. And then for my comments, too, I did have town halls at Copco Lake quarterly there for quite a while. When COVID came out, we cut back on the town halls everywhere. I think the mask mandate's going to be ending here pretty soon. Because Copco's community has an age to it, I didn't want to expose people or have people come out with COVID or have an outbreak up there, because it was reality. I did catch it myself just a couple of weeks ago. In regards to the criticisms, I respect that. Don't worry, I don't take it personal. This is a job. But in regards to not caring about the Copco Lake community or not doing that, I return all the phone calls I get from up there. Back in 2014, when the fire was threatening the area, Sheriff Lopi called me up, and I drove over there to witness the fire and go to the evacuation center. But the breakdown in communication, part of it's internet, part of it's some people don't. I get some letters written by hand, which tells me some people don't get on the internet at all. And then others, I get Facebook or phone calls. And I do make phone calls up there. Also lobbied to get people on the fire board a while back. So those sorts of things. So the board's not ignoring you by any means. And I'm not ignoring you by any means. Feel free to call. And if they're updating you, I just haven't had a town hall for a while because of the COVID stuff. I didn't want to expose it. But I even rustled cattle up there one time. There were some cattle that broke into the area, and I had a constituent call me and reached out to Pacific Power, and they got a hold of the rancher, and they got the cattle out of the Copco community that was harassing the, taking people's hay that was on there, feeding their horses and stuff. So at any rate, with that.
So, I want to address the urgency that you may be feeling with dates coming at you. And I know there's I can't begin to put myself in your place as a property owner. I can do that from a wildfire standpoint, but not from a dam removal perspective. But I will tell you that every day that seems put out, has gone unfulfilled. You know, so I, from an urgency standpoint, I'm at the point where I guess I'm going to do everything I can to vet every proposal in front of me thoroughly. And because the urgency that I may feel from KRRC, quite frankly, is BS. And they don't meet their goals. They don't even meet the deadlines that FERC puts in front of them. That gives me some comfort, I guess, in that the process is still alive. And it's not a done deal. And that's how I approach this. I'm not going to allow them to create a panic in me to make rash decisions that are not fully vetted and are not strategic in nature that's going to get us to where we need to go.
All right. I remember just reminding me of a comment back in 2015. I had a town hall at Copco Lake, and the whole crowd showed up. It was about this big. It was worry and fear, and I went, there's no new news. I'm just here to give you an update of what's going on. But that's the one thing that there's been this cloud over Copco Lake community for since 07, 08, even before then. And it's been many, many years of this dark cloud and ominous. It's going to happen person. So thank you, Supervisor Howe. With that.
So I would move to continue on item U.
Second.
Roll call vote.
Okay. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
And that's to March 1st, correct?
Yes. Now I'll do public comment. Miss Cecilia.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't say the name right.
Cecilia Baldry.
Baldry.
Okay. Yeah. On Evergreen. Here in Wairika, and I want to speak to you about the No Place Like Home housing. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's, in my mind, it's going to be child endangerment. What they want to do is place 24 seriously mentally ill, previously homeless people. I mean, they are coming right from the streets into this housing, which I think is great that they're going to be housing these people. But what they're going to be, there will be 24 of them, and there will be 25 families. Low-income families that will be in the same housing complex. And the plan is that they will intermingle them in all kinds of different ways. I guess community cooking and things like that. But I am very concerned because most people here in Wairika don't even know this is happening. And you guys have been working on it for 2 years, and I understand you voted it unanimously. I feel like it was snuck in. And people should have had a chance to speak out. And I understand that had we known right when you guys first decided, we had 45 days to say, no, this isn't a good idea. But now that 2 years have passed, we have no power. And it doesn't make sense to me that you guys are placing these homeless people so far from all the things that they will need. Yes, the social services and stuff will be coming into them. But for them to go and get groceries, it's a mile to the grocery store. How are you going to carry a couple cans of food home with you? And they've talked about buses and things going to be coming out there then. But these are people that are used to traveling by foot. I just feel like it's a really sick experiment. I can't imagine the kids that are growing up there. How are they going to even be able to play outside? Because they don't know what personality they're going to meet out in their own yard. It's And then there's also the issue that, and again, that was the California grant that you guys all applied for. And that's my another issue, is these California grants, you really have to look at them because they really have some wicked strings attached. They tell you where you can put it. I mean, not specifically, but they, all the stipulations you have to jump through, they tell you where you have to put it. The swimming pool, the Wairika swimming pool that they're going to put in, it has the same kind of weird stipulations of where it can be. And it's going to be right next door to this housing project, which is another issue that our community is having. So I would hope that you would look at this and figure out a way to do it differently. Those two groups of people do not need to be placed together. And I clean houses for work. I've talked to some of my clients. One of my clients owns land on the south end of town, right there kind of behind Walmart, between Walmart, the creek, and the freeway. And I feel that that would be a really good place for the seriously ill, mentally ill homeless people, because they can easily walk to all the things that they need. Walmart, Raley's, everything's right there. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
I know we're not supposed to go back and forth, but I have to talk about this a little bit. I saw this bubbling up in Facebook over the last week or so. One of the things I want to make perfectly clear is that when this first surfaced a couple years ago, I knew this reaction was going to happen. I knew there would be a reaction, as I would have, with this. So before it got my support, I demanded a letter from the city council that said they were willing to accept this. And at that point, then it passed to them for this, because to me, for the board to impose something on another body of elected officials was just not appropriate.
Hold on. Is this one better?
Getting a better microphone.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sure.
What didn't you hear?
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
Go ahead and start.
I think our city manager is the one. I saw the letter, and he said that he took it to the council. The council, when I talked to them, they had no idea what this was. They'd heard that it was going to be very low income housing is all they heard.
Yeah. And I,
nothing about the seriously mentally ill being placed in with them.
Yeah, so anyway, I from my perspective, before it got my support, it had to be vetted by the city, and they wanted it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten my vote. With that said, I don't know that there's any options this board has at this point, because it's been approved so many years ago. Anything to do with this right now, I believe, is up to the city council.
Tonight the city council is having behavioral health come and speak to the community about it. So, thank you.
Sorry, Nancy, if I stepped in to... Because it's a touchy issue, and the placement of it seemed pretty touchy to me at the time, too. Maybe Michael's nice.
All right. Mr. Steve Radford?
Steve Radford, Vietnam combat veteran, knows how to fight for his rights. This dam issue was voted on 10 years ago, or 11 years, 12 years ago. 80% of the county already said we don't want this dam taken out.
Do we need to stop?
Stop a second.
Our Zoom is down again.
Excuse me?
Do we need to get a hold of IT?
Just hold a second.
That means I get more time?
Yes. It does. You can start over.
It just means what you said disappeared into digital space.
Shall we take a break? I'm going to see if I can get a hold of IT.
It's a laptop.
They were up here with the laptop this morning, so I think they need to look at it again.
You need to take a break, then? We'll take a five-minute